The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 16th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, Rabobank says Australia's wheat crop will not make 10 million metric tons. USDA last week pegged that drought-ridden crop at just 11 million metric tons, less than half of what it was last year. And the gemstone of St. Louis last week. The biofuels conference turned a bit ugly towards ethanol made from corn. Really, it was just more talk that corn is a stepping stone for other biofuel alternatives. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And don't forget, at the bottom they are, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. Oh, and in between those two, we'll take up the hedge to a RIBE agreement. It all happens on this Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, willoag.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to willoag.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished like this in the wheat pit, the nearby contract. December futures for the day at 542.5, up 17 cents. The March soft red winter wheat at Chicago, $5.44.5, up 12.5 for the day. December corn futures, 316.75. They were up 2.25 for the day at a high price of 317.75, the low at 309.5 for the December corn futures. March contract at 326.5 settlement price. They were up 2.5 in the May at 332.5, up 3 cents. July futures at 334.25, up 1.25. November soybeans, $5.89. They were down 2.5. January's down 2 at 603.5. And the March contract off 2.25 at 613.25. November beans for next year, $6.47.25, off 2 cents today. December bean meal at 178.50, down 120. December bean oil for the day at 24.93, unchanged. Feeder cattle, October contract, 70 cents higher at $107.85 over at the Mercantile Exchange. October live cattle at $87.60, were down 85 cents. December futures were off 50 at 87.42.5. And December lean hogs today at $60.80, down 25 cents. From the outside markets, crude oil futures currently trading at $59.99 a barrel. They're up $1.42 on the last tick. The dollar at 86.98, down 0.14. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,979, up just about 19 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You've heard that we want to shorten our fall on-air fund drive.
You may have received a letter from me asking you to help us build a member match fund.
Your action before October 19th will help us enroll more new members and make our on-air fund drives more efficient. Here's how.
Make a contribution by mailing a check to Friends of WILL, Post Office Box 3429, Champaign, 61826.
Or give online at willpledge.org.
You can make WILL less dependent on fund drives. Thank you.
Joining us now to take a look at the agricultural markets for the day, as he does each and every Monday, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Wow, the fireworks continue in Chicago, and the wheat futures continue to climb higher. Are they still caught short up there, or what's happening on this marketplace?
There's still a few trying to hold in there, and you know, each time the market goes higher, it generates more throwing in the towel. There's been clientele, of course, caught the wrong way, and there's been quite a bit of pain felt there in the pits in Chicago. They've lost some good long-time traders, and even out in the countryside here, guys have been trying to stick short with it and just sort of keeps fueling on itself. They keep raising margin requirements. The market keeps going against them, and nobody's really not willing to pick a top just yet, especially we continue to see Egypt shop around and see the concerns about Australia, as you mentioned there. You know, Australian wheat crop might not be any better than 10 million metric tons. Last week, the USDA came down to 11 million metric tons. They thought the USDA would come down, but not that big of a jump. So that's got the tight global situation going on in Australia and also in Argentina. They remain dry. They got a chance of some showers. Talk of Brazil is going to have to find some other sources of wheat to buy. That just puts the pressure on the U.S. and Canada, especially with Europe shutting down, Russia and Ukraine taking a backseat to their exports. It's got the wheat situation fairly tight, and that's spilling over into the other commodities, too.
That, of course, on the nearbys, with the nearby December up 17, the March was up 12.5, an inverse happening in the marketplace with the May, July, and September is now following those first two contracts. And the July, which is the new harvest month, at 464.5, up just 2 cents today. What does that tell you about the things that producers who are putting wheat in the ground this fall should be doing?
Well, need to be marketing part of it here ahead of time. It's awful hard for us here in the Midwest to sell a whole lot ahead. You know, we've seen situations where we've gotten froze out, and it's a tough scenario. But I think you got to market part of it or use some paper tools to get a floor under you. We've really been consolidating in this July ever since May. We've been as high as this 490 area and as low as about 442. So when you look at the July 07 chart, we really haven't gone anywhere. The action's up front. It's a classical bull market, bull spread activities. They want the wheat now, not later. News of from the countryside that we're going to have a huge amount of wheat acres, not only here in the east, also in the west. And with the rains around and the wheat crop getting off to a decent start, it suggests we're going to have some supplies to market here as we go into next summer. So the shortage is up front, not later.
So the idea is if you can afford to do it, go ahead and sell it. But remember, that only wheat can fall out of the field real fast. I think if I remember right, if you're looking at having to spray for a wheat crop and disease in a wheat, it only takes 1% infection before they call in a spray rig. Yeah. So this is a crop that falls out of bed real quick, apparently in more than one way. So let's turn our attention to the corn market then. 316.75, the settlement price today at 2.25 higher. High price at 317.75. Corn just following the wheat, or is there more to that market?
Well, I think that's what helped get the wheat out of the hole and put the urgency on to get some corn coverage on. It was a combination of factors. You know, last week we did see one of the popular commercials who promoted the marketing tool of selling the calls and buying the puts. They so-called puked out of their short call position by buying that back, so we've seen a tremendous amount of short covering. In fact, a few days last week, open interest went down instead of up, but their late last week, the open interest went back up, indicating fresh buying. But there's this fear going on that these ethanol plants are going to gobble up all available supplies of corn, and everybody's going to get left out. You talk to these hog guys, that's their biggest fear. These ethanol plants are going to buy everything. When you look at the supply-demand balance sheet from state to state, you know, we're talking about Minnesota, even Iowa, and having to import corn into those states. So there's a shuffling going around and positioning as we look at the supply-demand balance sheet with this huge demand base coming at us that everyone's sort of getting to where they want to be up front here versus later.
The average Central Illinois cash price on Friday afternoon up 16.5 cents on that big day at $2.92. Maybe following a couple of pennies today. I haven't checked the cash price, but man, I want to wait for $3 to sell cash corn. Should I do it?
Well, it depends where you are in your marketing. You know, if you're 75% sold, I'd say base that tight. If you're only 30% sold, yes. You know, get aggressive and not wait. It just depends where you are. You know, if you're half sold, maybe go ahead and continue to pedal into it. But You know, you turn back the clock 3 weeks in here, you would have given anything to be at these prices.
You
anything.
Betcha. Yeah,
and,
indeed.
You know, last fall, everybody, you know, 3 weeks ago, everybody said, man, I wish it was sold. I wish it was sold. Now everybody's saying, I wish I wouldn't have sold. So I call it the rearview mirror effect. And I think you got to continue to sort of reward the market here. I'm not promoting get 100% sold, but especially, you know, it's been well advertised. You know, for commercial storage stuff, you know, go ahead and, you know, at least get, you know, a good chunk of that marketed, you know, on farm storage. If you want to fill up the bins and hang on and see what happens, that there's nothing wrong with that until year end. But the market's, you know, putting in the bullishness up front here. And if we don't, you know, if we get a lot of more corn acres this winter, and if we don't, you know, see some weather concerns next summer, we're victim to go back the other way. But on the other hand, this demand coming at us, if we don't get the big acres and we see some big weather concerns next spring, we got a whole lot higher to go yet.
On the flip side, soybeans not quite at $6. They're still trailing around for the nearby Novembers at $5.89.
Well, long term, that's the place to be. You know, even though we've got record domestic supplies, record world supplies, but when you look at the future and where to be ahead of the game, that's where you want to be. Now, it might not happen until next summer, but with maybe 10% less production in Brazil, you know, these corn and wheat acres are going to come at the expense of beans. I think we're setting ourselves up for a classic where if we do get a drought next summer, these beans could truly, you know, take a run at some much higher levels. So I think that's the sleeper in through here. Now, if you're going to be bullish and hang on, it's going to take a long time. And, you know, we've got quite a bit of weather to go through in the southern hemisphere here this winter. So I think that's sort of the sleeper here is these beans.
Kurt, we appreciate you being with us today.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Monday afternoons.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Zola says tonight across the two-state region, cloudy skies, some scattered showers, lows from 46 in northeastern Indiana to 53 in the south. Tomorrow, he says, in Illinois and northwestern Indiana, a chance for a few lingering morning showers, otherwise mostly cloudy. In the remainder of Indiana, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers and a few thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow from 58 in northern Indiana to near 70 in southwestern Illinois. The extended forecast, rain will continue to slow final harvest operations through the week. Most areas will receive at least 3/4 of an inch of rain. Many locations will get more than an inch. Heaviest precipitation is expected in the south and specifically in southern Indiana, where some locations might pick up more than 3 inches of rain this week. Dave Dickey's here now with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, add Rabobank Australia to the growing number of analysts saying Australia's wheat crop won't exceed 10 million metric tons. Last Thursday, USDA slashed the Australian wheat crop to 11 million metric tons from its September estimate of 19.5 million metric tons. Meanwhile, today the Australian government said it will boost aid to farmers due to drought conditions. Governmental officials are warning that Australia could be heading into a rural recession. Last week's National Renewable Energy Conference in St. Louis produced no new initiatives. For many, the tone of the conference was defensive. Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman said corn-based ethanol production will barely dent the nation's dependence on foreign oil. USDA Chief Economist Keith Collins warned that if not carefully managed, ethanol will take away from food and feed production. And Collins said breaking U.S. dependence on foreign oil will take more than talk.
America's undeniable need for energy today and tomorrow offers vast economic opportunity for biofuels. The opportunity makes me a biofuels cheerleader. At the same time, raising market share to the point where U.S. crude oil imports are materially reduced poses a lot of issues that will not be overcome if our cheerleading obscures the need for careful analysis and thoughtful action.
A report from the Council on Foreign Relations last week concluded the nation's dependence on foreign oil is undercutting national security and increasing political leverage of major foreign energy producers. President George Bush repeated themes from his State of the Union address.
For those of you who are in the ethanol business, you're on the leading edge of change. It's coming. And the government can help. That's why we enhanced and extended the 10-cent per gallon tax credit. We did that to stimulate production. We've extended a 51-cent per gallon tax credit for ethanol blenders. In other words, I believe, and Congress agrees, that the proper use of tax credits will help stimulate a new industry that will help our economy and help us when it comes to national security.
The Council on Foreign Relations report called for conservation measures to cut demand, a potential gasoline tax, and increased fuel efficiency standards for automobiles. The chief technology officer for Monsanto says corn yield has come nowhere near meeting its potential. Robert Fraley says 300 bushels to the acre can be reached through genetic technology. Fraley says a 25 billion bushel corn crop is possible with technological advancements in seeds. Meanwhile, Iowa State University ag economist Robert Wisner says in 2007, planted corn acres will need to be dramatically increased to meet ethanol demand.
I've made a couple of estimates here, one with 70% of what's under construction right now operating by next fall, and taking the low end of those numbers would require about 8 million more corn acres. That's looking at 160 bushel U.S. corn yield.
Wisner's estimate does not include changes in corn demand for livestock or exports over current USDA projections. WTO Director General Pascal Lamy says the suspended global trade talks must resume in the next 6 months or they will fail. Meanwhile, U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab says she'll lobby reluctant lawmakers to extend the president's fast-track trade authority beyond July of next year when it is set to expire. Analysts are saying USDA may have underestimated supplies in its latest quarterly hogs and pigs report. U.S. weekly hog slaughters during September and the first half of October are at record levels. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you'll find those latest USDA crop production and world agricultural supply demand estimates, as well as a way to subscribe to our weekend newsletter and to the daily programming that we develop as MP3 files. You can have it delivered directly to your computer via podcast using iTunes. That's available on Windows and Macintosh both. Or you can simply go to the webpage at WILLAG.org and download the MP3 file. Up next, farmers and elevators are again using a form of contract that got them into big trouble about a decade ago. I'll have a report on the hedge to arrive agreement. The last time the price of corn really skyrocketed, elevators and farmers used a contract called hedge to arrive. Now, this got some of the elevators in trouble, says ag economist Daryl Good.
I think the problem we got into in 95, 96 was not so much using HTAs, but we had some who were placing those initial hedges not in the new crop December contract, but in the July contract, because we had a very strong inverted market at that point. And the thought was that that inversion would give way to a carry, then those HTAs would be rolled forward to the DEIS contract. And that eventually happened, but not before the inverse got much worse in the short run. And those grain elevators, for example, that were holding short positions in the futures market to back up the HTAs incurred a lot of margin calls, and in some cases were asking farmers to pony up margin calls on the HTA contracts. And it just got a bit ugly.
Clearly, that problem does not exist this year. That's because there is a carry in the market. The same corn sold today is worth more if it can be stored and instead sold sometime later. A hedge to arrive contract is an agreement that sets a portion of that selling price.
Well, the hedge to arrive is basically saying I agree to deliver corn at a certain time and place and at a particular futures price that will be locked in, and then at some point at or prior to delivery we will agree on a basis. Those contracts are still fine. There's no inherent risk in a hedge to arrive contract other than the basis risk, which would be the same risk you would have if you were doing a straight hedge.
Basis is the difference between the cash price of corn and the futures price. The hedge to arrive, or HTA contract, is a way for farmers and elevators to bet on which way that basis will go, either raising or lowering the presumed final cash price for the commodity. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Joining us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange and in the cash grain market in particular is Wyatt Muse of the Andersons of right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt.
An afternoon to you, Todd.
Rain slowing the farmers down a bit today?
A little bit. A lot of guys just got rained out here midday and maybe welcomed by some to catch up on some paperwork and some equipment maintenance. We've been having a real nice run at it here for the last week.
And are they primarily in corn or beans at this point, or you're still getting a good mix?
Decent mix, but over the weekend we shifted to much heavier corn. A lot of guys have finished up beans and are getting to the tail end of the beans, and there's still a fair chunk of corn left out there.
How far along on the corn harvest might you think they are?
I would say in our dry area we're in that 50% territory. As you go west of Champaign, the harvest is a little bit farther along, and to the east it's much lighter. A lot of guys in Indiana are just getting started, and some have yet to start.
And what is your nearby cash bid today?
Today we're going to be 302 cash. That's a whole 28 cents higher than last Monday.
Yes, 302, drawing some sales above $3.
I think that's a good spot to be selling across the scales. I still stand that people should take advantage of their bins and store that, looking at deferred sales, but anything that's got to pay commercial storage. No one would have ever dreamed you'd be selling it for $3 cash this time of year.
Yeah, you think it, but are the farmers making the sales is the question, I suppose.
Yeah, we actually, over the weekend, we saw a fair amount of cash sales across the scales, and a lot of people that harvested early and delivered into storage or DP are pulling that trigger and saying, I'm going to take the money and run and be happy with a $3 sale.
Anybody remember the last time you had $3 cash corn on a really big crop?
It's been a while, probably 95, 96.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Well, and then that was not that big a crop. So this is an unusual event. What are you telling producers about the soybeans?
Not being afraid to sell some soybeans, but also with the strength we've seen recently, there's no reason that they can't continue to work a little bit higher, but maybe not to hold out too long. You know, if you were looking for cash flow, get some beans sold here, and if they all have to go to town in the fall, don't be afraid to sell some across the scales. We're 577 this evening. A lot of producers wait for that nice $6 mark, and we may or may not get there before the end of the season.
And finally, your bids for wheat futures.
487 DP only today. Next July delivery, we're going to be 434.
Okay, thanks much. We appreciate you being with us.
Hey, you have a great afternoon.
You too. That's Wyatt Muse. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joined us each and every Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market right here on your closing market report at WILL AM 580. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Former U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft is being criticized for his new book, which contends the Republican-chaired 9/11 Commission was more interested in blaming the Bush administration rather than in finding the truth. Former Illinois Governor Jim Thompson, who served in that commission, says Ashcroft's criticism isn't true. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that other Republicans who served on the commission are calling Ashcroft's behavior as a witness and an author, quote, underhanded and outrageous. But a spokeswoman for Ashcroft says he stands by the account in the book. A student from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus has been hospitalized in Evanston for meningitis. The U of I is not naming the student, saying only that he or she was admitted to the hospital on Thursday. University spokesman Robin Kaler says officials have been in contact with people who may have been in close contact with the student at the Urbana-Champaign campus. Those people are being treated with antibiotics. It's been about 18 months since a U of I student was last diagnosed and treated for bacterial meningitis. The Saluki will make its inaugural run from Carbondale to Chicago tomorrow. Representatives of Southern Illinois University, the City of Carbondale, Amtrak, and others are scheduled to gather tomorrow to commission the new passenger train at the Amtrak depot in downtown Carbondale. The Saluki will make stops in Champaign and other East Central Illinois cities along its route. A funeral with full military honors is planned tomorrow for a Bloomington, Illinois soldier who survived three tours in Iraq, only to return home and find out he had just months to live. U.S. Army Colonel Dirk Spanton died Friday of cancer of the liver bile ducts. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage on WILL Urbana. This is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, John.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's kind of cold, gray, a little bit rainy here in Champaign County. I suspect that'll continue at least for a while. How long can we see these skies stay with us?
Well, I'll tell you what is that from a cold standpoint, we're fully locked into a pattern that features lots of cold air from Canada pushing down into the Midwest and then actually traveling over into the eastern U.S. So from a cold standpoint, we're locked in this thing, we think, basically until the end of the month with pretty consistently below normal temperatures. From a precip and cloud standpoint, well, we will have breaks in the action here coming up. We don't expect any heavy precipitation, at least in central Illinois and areas to the north and west. About the only area that will get heavy precip is the Ohio Valley. So periodically, we will have some cloudy and somewhat drizzly type weather here coming through. But the big story is going to be the cold pattern, which looks like it's going to be with us basically through the end of the month.
Ooh, and how cold are we talking?
Well, we're talking pretty significant anomalies below normal. We're looking at things over the next couple of weeks is anywhere from 5 to 10 degrees below normal across the vast majority of the Midwest and Great Lakes.
Aye. That'll take the soil temperatures down fairly quickly. Any concerns that'll jump back up? And I'm thinking actually of anhydrous ammonia application. And if it gets cold enough, those applicators will run fairly quickly across the Midwest and maybe not with any inhibitor in them. And then if we get an Indian summer or some kind of uptick after that, we could lose a lot of what's been put in the ground. What's the possibilities once we get in November for a significant heat up?
Well, for a significant heat up, that would be pretty unlikely with the amount of cold air that's come moving down and the fact that soils in themselves are beginning to cool down across much of North America. You can get into a pattern that would feature more normal-type temperatures in the early portion of November, but to have an unusually warm period, that would be pretty unlikely.
And then, speaking of anhydrous ammonia, since natural gas is the primary ingredient to make all forms of nitrogen, we better check in on supplies of natural gas and how that might be impacting the price of anhydrous ammonia.
Well, certainly supplies of natural gas are abundant going into the winter season, but it really all comes down to one thing. What kind of heating demand will we tend to have over the next 4 to 5 month period? And certainly the bottom line right now is that we have no real threat of any kind of a shortage of natural gas. And we have abundant supplies here going in. As to where we end up next spring, it's all going to come down to one thing, what the winter is going to be like, especially in the major population centers of the eastern U.S.
Anything else to add before I let you go, maybe on the Australian wheat crop?
Yeah, well, the Australian wheat situation continues to be terribly poor and no real improvement in that. It's really almost too late for that to be impacted that much. And finally, in Argentina, they've gotten very good rains lately, so they're one area that is improving for their winter wheat crop.
We appreciate your time on this Monday afternoon.
My pleasure, Todd.
And that is John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
That is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report, and that you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, and the weather right there on our website at WILLAG.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
You've heard that we want to shorten our fall on-air fund drive.
You may have received a letter from me asking you to help us build a member match fund.
Your action before October 19th will help us enroll more new members and make our on-air fund drives more efficient. Here's how.
Make a contribution by mailing a check to Friends of WILL, Post Office Box 3429, Champaign, 61826.
Or give online at willpledge.org.
You can make WILL less dependent on fund drives. Thank you.